Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Dave Hall, your host. Here we are again. Another week's come and gone. I cannot believe how fast time flies by as we sit here talking about retirement, helping you better understand what it's going to take to help get you through that longest self-imposed period of unemployment most of you'll have in your lifetime. Could be 10 years, could be 20. Heck, it might even be 30 or 40. It is what we call retirement. If you've not yet taken the opportunity, please go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com. Here you'll be able to get access to all the tools, the resources, the educational platforms we have available to help you enjoy the peace that retirement can bring, to help you be able to better understand what those years of your life are going to look like. Very excited about today's show. I brought in with me Dr. Mary Flett. She is an expert in really dealing with aging and some of the issues that you're going to face. She has established the five pillars of aging. She spent her whole career dealing with helping people get themselves into the right place and to better figure out their mental and emotional states so that they can make the right decisions. So very excited to have her with us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's really a delight to be here with you today.
Why don't you provide a little more detail on your background as a doctor and what you've done over the last 20 plus years and what you're doing now to help people?
First and foremost, I'm an aging adult. One of the things about being a boomer that I've recognized, especially since I've been working in the field of aging literally since I was 11 years old. I was a caregiver to my grandfather. This was back in the days when you didn't hire professional caregivers and we didn't have home care aides. We just had families taking care of each other. I had the challenge at times of caring for an older man who had mobility impairment but was cognitively intact and had the heart and soul of an extraordinary teacher and a very, very kind mentor to me. So I started out very early working with aging adults, love aging adults, have now become an aging adult myself. And as of this last year, the beginning of this year, I retired after 20 years as a clinical psychologist, where my practice focused in working with aging adults. I have to tell you, I'm going to push back on this term retirement. And I know that's your whole show's name. But the reality of my experience, Dave, is that our generation, the baby boomer generation, is breaking ground. None of us have ever lived so long, so well, with so much potential left to continue to offer. So this notion of retiring is really something that's situated back in the 1930s with the Social Security Act and in the 1960s with the Medicare Act, an arbitrary decision to base this on chronology. Truth of the matter is that most of us get to this stage of life, we don't really want to keep doing everything we've been doing at the level we've been doing it, but we also don't want to just sit down and drink Mai Tais, play golf all day, maybe for a week or so, or go on trips. One of the things that I like to think about this period of life as being is a renegotiation. It's renewing our lease on life, and we're making some changes. So from your perspective, those changes have to be funded, right?
Right.
And the challenges that at least I've seen in the folks that I've worked with are around managing not just the money, but managing the fears, managing our response to the unknown, contemplating the quality of life issues that we really want, recognizing that we don't have as much time left, and we want to use it wisely.
Mary, you bring up so many important points there, and one of the biggest ones that I see is really this process that people go through mentally. I think you're exactly right that there is so much to be given. I meet with thousands of CPAs primarily, but retirees on an annual basis, and I see that there's so much to give. We did a podcast not too long ago that talked about the happiness curve and how we actually get happier in retirement if we structure things correctly, but yet so many of us focus just on the financial end. We've got to have the money to get ourselves through, which we need to have, not going to be very enjoyable if we're living out on the streets. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other issues that you deal with besides the money, saying, okay, we get to this age, we're going to transition into this next phase, and things are going to be different for us because now we have all the time in the world. We have maybe a spouse we're seeing a lot more than we used to. What are some of the challenges you primarily see with that initial transition?
The initial transition actually is not all that difficult because it is habitual. We just keep doing. We come to see people like you and we fill out a bunch of paperwork and then we do a bunch of investing and then we start to follow it on our computer or on our TV. And nowadays we're, putting our head under the sand because things are going so crazy. The initial piece is really about bringing ourselves that have been rewarded for and have sought to make goals be met, to find ways to expand our gifts and our talents, to share who we are. And then all of a sudden, because of social reasons, we become invisible. What I call golden ghettos. Many of us spend a lot of time going around looking for places to stay that are away from community. And even though we may be transitioning into a different kind of community, the reality is if we don't live with purpose and meaning, that happiness quotient drops precipitously. One of the variables that is always in place here is the physical aspects of aging. We can't get around that, okay? Some of us have been blessed with really good health, and so our capacity, our stamina for continuing to be productive as we age is unlimited. For others of us, we may be facing challenges we've never faced before. A very interesting statistic that I always found fascinating with me in my practice was that individuals who had struggled with chronic illness for years actually lived a lot longer than people who never faced any illness at all and were suddenly confronted with something they had no skill or ability to manage. So I'm not suggesting that people get sick by any means. What I'm suggesting is that we need to find a way to increase our stamina and our capacity for doing something that we've always loved, but doing it differently.
Mary, how do we help people do that, though? So in my situation, I'm going to share a personal story here. I had a kidney transplant just over 3 years ago now, when we look back at it. Through that process, because my donor matched so well, they gave me very limited anti-rejection medication. I had 6 kids at the time. Now I've got 8. We've adopted 2 additional children, but I'd pretty much been exposed to anything you could be exposed to from having so many kids bringing home from school. So my immune system was super high. And as a result, my body started rejecting the kidney as they didn't expect. And they had to just dump my body full of chemicals and everything to stop the rejection. Well, I noticed after that, my mind was not the same as it had been for the last 49 years. All of a sudden, things were different. And I felt like I got a taste of what many people go through as we age, that things change. And I had to become okay with that. I had to realize that, hey, hopefully it's going to come back, but Dave, you're not going to be able to do the things you did before, but you still need to find happiness. Any thoughts as people go through this to help them to adapt to bodies and minds and things that may be slowly changing, but it's going to be okay. It's part of the process and we can still find joy.
Absolutely. It's the third of my 5 pillars of aging. It's all about adaptation and accommodation. So adapting is something we think we're in charge of. So we adapt to new circumstances. We adapt to new environments. But accommodating is when we have to come face to face with the fact that we may not be able to do things the way we always did them. And we may not be able to sustain the things that we love as long as we have in the past. So this isn't about giving up or giving in. It really is about reflecting on acceptance of what perhaps some of our limitations are, and then embracing a new or different way of doing things. What gets in the way of that, of course, are beliefs that we hold. I should be able to do something some way. I should be able to do this. Unfortunately, when serious medical issue confronts us, we're put into an environment where very little is left up to our own decision-making. We're forced to give ourselves over to many people who we will never meet ever again and trust they will take care of our lives. kind of like going to a CPA with retirement money.
Absolutely. Hopefully we get to see them again, though.
Exactly. My point here is that we have to accept and then learn to trust. There's always some risk that something will go wrong. There is always the inevitability that we're going to die. All of this talk about longevity and living forever, I think, frankly, is very foolish. Living a good life and living it well should be our goal. To do that, we need to have a mind and a soul and a heart that says, well, maybe I'll try this maybe a different way. If that choice is forced on us, as yours was, in my case, I had chronic pain from really bad hips. Once I got my hips replaced, I thought I was going to be scot-free. Well, surprise, surprise, COVID hit. And that adjustment, the unexpected, how we are able to adapt to the unexpected, is really a learned skill. It's better and easier to learn if we are able to look around us and find mentors, find people who have done things before. I always say, you know, what's your track record in life? And most of us poo-poo things that we've been through, or we didn't do this right, or we should have done this better. But the reality is, particularly those of us in our 60s and our 70s and our 80s and our 90s, we've actually accumulated a lot of skill and wisdom in how to do things differently. We have to give ourselves credit for that.
More than 50% of CPAs will run out of money in retirement, and this number is projected to grow because of risks like inflation, increased longevity, and rising healthcare costs. Retirement Risks Advisors has the perfect solution to help CPAs make their money last as long as they do. Learn more by signing up for our flagship webinar, Getting Safely Through Retirement. In this webinar, we share the top 10 financial risks CPAs will face in retirement and what can be done to reduce or eliminate each risk. To get started, visit retirementriskadvisors.com/safe.
One of the things that I learned from James Prince, he was a manager of one of my clients that I had at the time, and his brother was in Scarface Band, so a little different music than what I listened to, but we got a chance to meet. But he taught me a very important principle that in life, we really need three people. We need someone that we look up to. We need an equal that we can compare our lives to and share our lives with. Then we need someone that looks up to us that we can be a mentor to. And as we look at going into retirement, I see it as a great opportunity for people to really be a mentor to others. I lived in Las Vegas for a number of years. You can imagine that I saw tons and tons of elderly folks in the casinos wasting their lives away because they felt like maybe they didn't have anything to give or just didn't want to do anything else. Maybe wanted to feel like they were lost in a video machine instead of going out and helping. But how do we get people to ensure they're transitioning to add that value into the lives of others that they still have? Because there is so much that can be given by people that are at this point in their lives.
You know, I love that notion of having somebody to look up to, having a peer, and then mentoring somebody. The challenge is that in our current society, there is rampant ageism. We even talk about ourselves with negative and pejorative terms. I'm going to just gently point out the term elderly. When you put an L-Y on it, it all of a sudden makes you diminutive. It all of a sudden makes you helpless. But when you call somebody an elder, that's very different. I prefer the term an aging adult. And there are always going to be aging adults. My husband was a gambler who just loved the slots. I used to call him Mr. Lucky. And we would go to places like Las Vegas, and we would go to Reno, and his joy was sitting on the gambling floor playing those slot machines forever. Not me. I don't find that productive. I don't find it useful. I don't find it restful. But in our culture, we put a label on that. I think one of the things that perhaps you've experienced, and certainly I have experienced, is for many, many aging women, is we become targets. We become helpless. And some of us take that on in terms of our, oh, I don't understand all this retirement stuff. And my husband always did all this and that for me. That's more generational these days. But many of us are now solo agers. Many of us are making decisions that not only will last for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but may need to last for 30 or 40 years. Very few of us are used to making decisions around putting our money away for 30 or 40 years. I'm kind of rambling around this, but I think bottom line with this is we live in a society that doesn't know what to do with us at the moment. That's a good news, bad news thing. We can choose to take our future into our own hands and determine how we want to live and what we're going to do with our lives. To do that, we have to push back against the inherent ageism that exists.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. One of the things you brought up is when we look at this retirement period of time, the initial years generally aren't so bad because we still have a lot to do. Like you said, we've got to meet with the financial advisors. We've got to maybe meet with aging coaches. We maybe are looking at new homes that we're going to move into. Now we're retired, a different community. So we fill that up, or we travel, or we do all these things we couldn't do before. But then year three or year four or year 10 comes in. Now all of a sudden we've done all that stuff and we're looking in the mirror going, what am I going to do today? What is your take on people, what I would refer to as semi-retiring, meaning, hey, you know, initially let's just keep a part-time workload or a part-time business or a part-time something and slowly ease ourselves into this versus going cold turkey day one?
Well, definitely don't go cold turkey day one, because you will go into withdrawal, and that is not a good state at all. I talk about this as the transition period. We're transitioning between being human doings and human beings. Again, there's some cultural issues here. If we live in a community that doesn't value the experience that many aging adults have, then it's going to be hard to find a way to share that. But more and more and more communities are adopting elder-friendly standards. This is actually a standard that was arrived at by the World Health Organization way back in the 1990s, recognizing that we have to integrate intergenerational activities. There are some cultures, again, somewhat stereotypically here, but some cultures that have grandparents, parents, and grandchildren in the same home. Generally speaking, everybody's got a job.
Yep.
Everybody's got a job. There is a purpose for everybody to the ability that they can participate. And there are many co-housing units that are organizations around the country where the housing core is based on actually producing things to sustain the community that is there. If you are living in a community where you as an aging adult are just with other aging adults, then it's a little bit more challenging, because the invitation to continue to organize, produce, and be productive is very limited. Some of this is also personality. You know, there are those of us that are naturally extroverted and we're going to take charge. And there are those of us who are introverted and prefer maybe not to say anything, but are internally filled with ideas and wonderful things. So recognizing that there is purpose, searching for meaning, and then exploring opportunities where those two vectors can intersect is really important. That is a conversation that I think flows naturally, actually, from around what are you going to do with your money? You don't want your money just to sit. I mean, as far as I know, you want your money to be working for you.
Right.
And that's not a bad attitude to have as we age. One of the barriers, we could talk about this for months, but one of the barriers that so many of us are afraid of is that cognitively we won't be able to function. As you are very aware of, the cost of moving into assisted living, bringing home care, is exorbitant. And there's really no way around that. Unless you know you're going to be exposed to that and have put money aside, I honestly don't know how to. You're the expert in this. You know, how do you prepare for that?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is, obviously from a financial side, you can map it out. But one of the biggest challenges we even face is people don't want to address it. It's like you talk about debt. We just don't even want to look at the fact. And as a result, we oftentimes create a headache for the rest of our family because we're unwilling to deal with something that's inevitable. It's going to happen. And I think the question even we have many times is, how do we get people to be willing to take those steps, to realize it's okay to have this discussion? I've had friends and clients over the years that have these discussions very openly with their family. and it can turn into a great experience, not only during their lifetime, but because expectations are set oftentimes after they passed on. Things are a lot better, unfortunately, than those who don't. And you know, one person expects one thing, another family member expects something else. And before you know it, they're just all fighting and wishing there was more money than there actually is. But it's how do we get ourselves to think about these things so we can appropriately address them and have enjoyable conversations about it, realizing it doesn't all have to be negative. Any thoughts on that?
I have many thoughts on that. If I could solve that problem, I would be so wealthy and you could just manage my money for the rest of my life. We don't change as we age. So if we're afraid to talk about things for whatever reason when we're younger, we're going to be afraid to talk about things when we're older. Confronting the difficult is a skill and it takes practice. And the best advice I can give is to go to a trusted professional who can help you learn how to talk about these things. In my profession, you know, seeing a coach in this point in my life, since I'm no longer licensed, I was coming to talk to a coach about issues that concern you and then learning these skills because it is a skill. If there are what I call dark legacies within a family, there's abuse, there's anger, there's divorce, there's things that people don't talk about because the pain and the hurt is so bad, then you need to go see a family therapist of some kind or a spiritual guide. You can't do it alone. We shouldn't do it alone. Then I'll put in a plug for one of my courses here. I have a 6-week course called No Time Like the Present. And we work through these issues in 6 weeks. It's a small group experience where we just systematically, it's kind of like sitting down with a CPA. We systematically look at this stuff. And as stuff comes up, we manage it. I think, as you probably know very well, the fear of the unknown is often far in excess of what the actual reality is. And once we kind of move that aside and just move into accomplishing small tasks, looking at things in a smaller way, more manageable way, then the fear diminishes. I don't know anybody that has arrived on their deathbed and said, "Oh, of course, I'm expecting this." We're all surprised. We're just all surprised because it's never going to happen to me. But we're living longer. We're having more experience with these things. And I think we just have to develop our skill set.
I would agree. Mary, you talked about your 6-week class. We're running out of time here. If you wouldn't mind talking a little bit more about your coaching and other opportunities people would have to connect. Again, folks, what we want to do is deal with more than just the finance. I'm a very emotional person. As a result, I get very involved in the emotional and mental issues of clients more so than a CPA typically would. But it's because I understand it's so important. And I see someone like yourself who's out there offering services to help people with this transition, which many times some conversation, some training can go a long ways to helping establish that long-term happiness and success. So if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about other opportunities you have and how people can connect with you to get access to your platform and what you're offering.
So I have two websites for my private coaching. It's drmaryflett.com. And I work with people specifically on issues around aging in place, how to stay in the community or the home or the space you want and adapt that place to make it meet your needs. I also do one-on-one coaching with folks about aging issues, and you can check that out at drmaryflett.com. The Five Pillars of Aging is my educational arm, if you will, and I have several courses on there, but No Time Like the Present is specifically designed to be very practical. There's a workbook involved with it. The course is $250 for 6 weeks. You get time with me on Zoom and other folks who are searching to try and figure out how to do this transition between doing and being and get the paperwork done. And we spend a lot of time on advanced directives and what to do and how to pull people together for your aging team. And I think that's what I want to end with, Dave, is that folks in your profession don't have to do all of this. Teaming up with a local therapist or person such as I am to work together with your clients, I think reassures your clients that there's more than just one person out there and that we don't have to do this alone. And that's the most reassuring thing I can hope for.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's one of the things that I look at with so many of the people we work with is, and you'd brought it up some before, is just we want to bring ourselves closely in retirement. We want to almost become reclusive. And there's so much joy and happiness to step outside, to stay connected, to make sure you're getting professionals in your life that can help you enjoy that opportunity and to be able to connect you with maybe other organizations and things that can help through there. Mary, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Dave. It's been a delight.
For those of you that want to take action and be able to take Mary's course, it's Dr. Mary Flett, F-L-E-T-T, double T on the end. So if you'll go to her website, drmaryflett.com, be able to get access to what she has to offer. For those of you that are trying to get a risk-based plan, who are not wanting to have to worry through those retirement years, whether you're going to run out of money or not, you can go to our website, retirementriskadvisors.com, where we'll be able to get you the tools, the resources, the education to get you safely through retirement. My name's Dave Hall. I've been your host. Look forward to seeing you again next week.
And that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. We come out with a new episode every Friday morning, and you don't want to miss it. If you want to continue the conversations from our podcast, join Dave every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time on the Retirement Risk Advisors Facebook page as he answers your retirement questions live.
The Retirement Risk Show is a production of the Retirement Risk Advisors. Our show was produced by C.R. Talin and Autumn Koenig. If you're a CPA looking for more retirement education, visit retirementriskadvisors.com.